Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is your hostess, Latrice Carter. We're having Small Talk Saturday. We're going to talk about a very touching topic today with my special guest, bullying. Bullying is taking a whole 360-degree turn with our children, and to the point where our babies today are committing suicide. And so this is a much-needed conversation, a much-needed topic. And today my guests are Dr. Barbara Evans and Bonita Fay. Welcome,
good
ladies.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's a pleasure to have you guys on the show. I want to talk about with Dr. Evans from a mental health and psychological perspective, several questions that I want her to answer, and then Bonita Fay, because she and I grew up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and she was also bullied as a child, and I was bullied as a child, but she took hers and turned it to something very positive, so that she's a board member on the Bully Buster 702. And she'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But right now, I want to talk to Dr. Evans to get the psychological and mental perspective from her. Dr. Evans, from a medical expert. Oh, you're welcome. From a medical expert's perspective, what are the effects of bullying psychologically on a child from grade school to high school?
Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. First, let me say thank you, Latrice, for having me on today, and thank you for everyone who intentionally joined in this discussion on bullying. It is a very, very disheartening and heartbreaking topic, but one that's very necessary to have. Before I go into the psychological effects, let me say that statistics indicate that 1 in 2, and even some say 1 in 4, young people experience bullying at some point before the age of 20. It's even considered a public health concern. So this is what we're dealing with, 1 in 2. 1 in 2, just keep those numbers in mind. And another thing I want to start off with, if it's okay, is to start off with the definition of bullying, because this is not your running and meal like it used to be, like, oh, someone, Johnny took my lunch money. It's not that type of situation. It's a little bit more deeper these days. And so a definition that I picked up from the Centers for Disease Control says, bullying is the unwanted, repetitive behavior among school-age children that is intended to cause physical or emotional harm. It's an intentional, aggressive, and repetitive behavior that involves a real or perceived imbalance of power or strength. Okay? It can take on several forms, such as a physical, hitting, punching, beating, verbal, which consists of teasing, name-calling, threats, emotional, which is intimidation, using gestures, social exclusion and threats, sexual, racist bullying, cyberbullying, which is online harassment and hate messages, threats, impersonations, and other digital abuse and hazing. Okay? So let me go on and say some of the psychological effects of bullying. Some of their short-term and their long-term. Some of the short-term psychological effects are social isolation, the feeling of shame, sleep disturbances, because oftentimes the victim will have nightmares, changing eating habits because the victim is now afraid to go in the cafeteria where the bully is, especially if there's an audience. Many psychosomatic symptoms, such as stomach aches, headaches, muscle aches, or other physical complaints where there are no known medical causes. A lot of times when you have younger children, they don't really know how to express or describe what's going on with bullying. So they might say, "Mommy, my stomach hurts," or "Mommy, I don't feel good." They don't know how to put words to it. Other psychological effects are poor school performance. The grades go down, and symptoms of depression. More long-term, and especially without any type of mental health interventions, could be chronic depression, increased risk of suicidal thoughts, suicidal plans, and suicide attempts, anxiety disorders, and post-traumatic stress. So those are some of the short and long-term psychological effects.
Okay. And those are also symptoms that the parents should be looking for, paying attention to their child that is being bullied.
Yeah, and I would say to add on to that, a lot of warning signs. Sometimes parents can see it and sometimes they don't, but some additional warning signs are unexplained injuries, scratches, bruises, ripped shirts, loss of destroyed books and electronics, jewelry. You gave your daughter a little ring, and now you know, and now you can't find it. She can't find it. Nowhere knows where it went. A sudden loss of friends. Maybe she used to hang out with a particular group, or he used to be on a football team, and now he avoids any type of social situations. The feeling of helplessness or decreased self-esteem. The child often appears to be afraid to go to school, afraid to go on the school bus, wants you to drive them to school now. And also self-destructive behavior such as running away from home, self-inflicted harm, or again, talking about suicide.
Yeah, those are heavy symptoms. When is it a good time for parents and their child to sit down and talk with a therapist when they're being bullied?
Okay. Well, I would say from the parent's point of view, you know, parents should always remain calm. Don't run off emotion when they find out, if they find out that their child has been bullying, because the child sometimes is operating off of their parents' energy. But you want to try to get as much information from your child so that you can ascertain how long the situation has been going on and to what degree it's been going on. Most times when you find out that a child has been bullied, they've pretty much been bullied for a great length of time before the mom finds out, before dad finds out. And so if you feel that some of those warning signs that we just went over, if you feel that they're exhibiting that to a very strong degree, like they're very isolative, depressed, crying spells, skipping school, don't want to go to school, grades decrease, then yes, I would say find a clinician that you can work with right away at the same time that you're taking steps with the school to try to rectify the situation. But when your child presents to such a severe magnitude that pretty much means that they've been dealing with it for a very long time. If you talk to your child and your child comes to you readily, "Mom, I'm having this friend at school. She used to be my friend, and now she's talking about me to other people." Your child comes to you right away. Then also I would say be slow to jump in. Talk to your son or daughter. You know your son and daughter. Do you think it's something that they can handle on their own? If so, allow them to try to work things out. Know that you've already prepared them and given them tools to be able to handle conflicts. And then and only then, if they can't handle it on their own, then parents jump in. Okay?
Okay. Got it. So, as you know, over this last year, couple of years, we've been hearing about kids who have been bullied as young as 9 years old. The most recent one, she was only 9 years old, and she committed suicide. When a child commits suicide, and on some research that I did, they call it bullyfied. As a result of being bullied, what is the conversation that you would advise schools and parents as a medical expert to discuss that particular topic when one of their students commits suicide because he or she was bullied?
Yes, I read about that situation with that young girl and so many other situations, and I just feel so bad about it. But this is a great question, because when a person especially is just so disheartening because of the age, when they feel like they're so pressed up against the wall and there's nothing else to do, this is devastating to not only the family but the community. And I would say you want parents and teachers, and when I say teachers, the schools, the administrator, the guidance counselors, everyone involved, this will be the time to start having conversations and taking a proactive stance if they had not done so previously. Mm-hmm. No, we can't go back, but we can learn and we can move forward. Parents can start to develop a consistent way of having an open dialogue with their children about bullying, talking with their children, letting them know the definition. Maybe they don't even know what's happening to them is bullying. Maybe it's online and they don't even know. And also prepare them on what to do if they feel like a person is being a bully toward them. And have little role plays on what you can do. Now, I know that sounds like oh, no one wants to do that, but it is the best way to prepare your children, because only children who leave the home and go off to the schools know the different situations in which they will encounter. Those situations look very differently than the situations that previous generations encountered. And so you have to go with what's happening here and now. And you have to make sure that you have this openness within the home so that your child will not hesitate to come to you, whether it's with questions or concerns or just to let you know what's happening. Also, parents should try to ask questions. So you don't want to just say, "Susie, are you being bullied at school?" Because that just leads to a no. You want to ask, open-ended questions to allow your child or children to have a conversation with you. A better approach would be, I'm worried about you, Susie. Are there any kids at school who may be picking on you or bullying you? Are there kids at school that tease you? Do you ever feel like you're being left out of a group on purpose, Susie? You can turn the conversation around so that they'll have to talk to you about what happened. Who do you sit with at lunch? And they may go on to tell you, well, I used to sit with these five girls. And then this one girl came, and she might say that person's name, Debbie. And then now no one wants to sit with her, and she might start to talk to you about that. Okay? As far as one step further is, as parents, you can get to know your children's friends by inviting them over and having outings and play dates, getting to know their parents. And this is to promote community support, because mom and dad, you can't always be there. But now Debbie's mom knows my daughter, and she's watching out for my daughter when I'm not around and my daughter's at the mall and she sees someone harassing my daughter. Do you see what I'm saying? We're all watching out for one another's children. So that's a good point to make. With regards to the school, and I strongly stress this, the school parents, teachers, administrators, principals, everyone should be getting involved with anti-bullying legislation. Majority of the states have anti-bullying laws. You need to get familiar with the laws in your state and to make sure that the school, your community school, is upholding their responsibility in keeping your child safe. The school has a responsibility to make sure that your school, your child, is kept safe while at school. And
absolutely.
It's going to be up to the parents. If unfortunately all the schools are not the same, but if you're at a school in which they try to downplay bullying when you report bullying to the school, then you will have to take a more aggressive stance with the school. It is their responsibility.
Absolutely. And with that being said, Benita, you were a victim of bullying growing up as a child, and you suffered in violence. What kept you, unlike the kids today, from being from committing suicide, or even did you go through a period of being depressed? How did you handle your bullying situation?
I don't think that I handled it. I think I just ran from it, actually. Excuse me. I stopped going to school, started skipping a lot, hanging out with the wrong crowd, trying to find acceptance, allowing those people to treat me any kind of way because I wanted to belong. And so no one ever talked to me about bullying or how to even have that respect for myself to not allow people to treat me that way.
Wow, you just said all the symptoms that Dr. Evans had just mentioned that our parents missed. And I know in the article that you were featured in that I wrote in the People magazine, you talked about how you had to learn to fight back.
Yes. I literally had to fight, to prove, to get people up off of me, leave me alone. And so people would interpret that as me being bad, instead of me defending myself, I was labeled as the outcast, the bad child.
Yeah. But you know what, though? Back in the day, we had to fight
our bullies, and that seemed like that was the only way to get them off of us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you had to take a position.
Right.
As a result of you being bullied, you are now a board member and liaison for Bully Busters 702.
Correct.
Can you tell us about this organization and what impact you want to have on this whole Stop Bullying campaign?
Sure. Bully Busters 702 was founded by a very good friend who I am privileged to call my brother, Keith Bowen. And Keith founded this agency because he lost a dear friend as a child who committed suicide because he was being bullied. And so Keith made a promise to never let that happen to anyone that came within his circle again. And so he started Bully Busters 702 as a result of losing his friend. And so what I love about Keith is his passion to serve on this topic and to the community. And so, and Keith does a great job of really meeting the youth where they're at. He goes to the elementary schools and he has bullying songs that he sings with them, and he brings in performers, you know, to get their attention, and he just really does a good job of connecting with them. But the real work is really done with the Bully Busters 702 app that he has. And so you can download it, and once you download it, if you're being bullied, you can actually record the person bullying you, and it will be sent to his office, and then they make contact with the school.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh,
yes.
That is.
Yes.
That is.
Well, modern technology.
Yes, yes. and it also has games on there to teach kids about bullying. He has coloring books. He has a kids radio show called Kids Have a Voice Radio Show, where they discuss topics that are relevant to the youth. The kids start at age 9 that are on the radio show. And then there's the Bully Buster shoes that he has, and the sock line. There's a 24-hour bullying hotline, too.
Oh, that is good.
Yes, he's all in. He even has an action figure that they carry in Walmart. And most recently, his latest project for Bully Busters 702 is launching of the Crime Fighters cartoon that takes place in a school setting. And it's kind of like, you know, they have the hidden cameras and they say, oh, I see Susie is being bullied. And then the superheroes are dispatched to go and help her.
That is
that's
wonderful. I'm over here jumping for joy because back in the day, as you know, bullying, it's, you pretty much had to prove it. And it didn't happen in the classroom. It happened in the hallway, in the locker room, and so it's their word against yours. But all of those things that you named are so great because it then empowers the victim that they're no longer a victim. I'm just so happy to hear that.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And like I said, and you know, and for him to talk to kids as young as kindergarten on up about what bullying is and how they can protect themselves or what bullying actually is so that they have an understanding. When I was a kid, they used to call me things like Benita the Bum and Hi-Ho Silver because I had silver caps in my mouth and, you know, people would chase me home. Like you said, it doesn't always happen in the school.
Right.
It mostly happens after school, out of eyesight of the adults. Yes, on the bus ride home, walking home.
Yes,
so we
on
really
the
have
bus.
To teach.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We have to teach our children what it is and how they can assist other kids that are being bullied. So not only to protect themselves,
but also to teach others, actually to be, I guess you say, a role model for others too, so that they see they don't have to be bullied. It's no longer being quiet about it. To stop the silence, really. Really, to stop the silence. And I know you said, you mentioned after school, on the bus, on the walk home. For me, mm-hmm. it was on the bus. And, you know, I know, you know, we're not supposed to resort to violence, but back in the day when I got bullied on the bus, I went home to help my brothers. And my brothers met us at the bus stop. He met us at the bus stop, and, you know, I'll never forget my bully's name, Jeff LaFleur. He was he was the tallest seventh grader ever. And my brother never met him at the bus stop. And it took for them, you know, it was a gang of them that, you know, to jump a bully. You really show a bully just how, you know, just how bad they are when they are confronted. But I know our babies don't do that today because, you know, again, it's in silence. You know, they keep it to themselves. Benita, how did you handle when you became a parent? Because, you know, by you being bullied, how did you deal with that when it came to your kids and you became a parent?
Right. So with my children, you know, I just always had open dialogue with them, you know, about what a friend is, you know, and self-respect. But one of the things I wanted to ask the doctor, you know, what's funny is that I actually reached back out to a few of the people that were bullying me as a kid, and I asked them if they remember certain situations, and it's funny how they don't even recall it.
What?
They don't remember doing it, and it's like, what? I did that to you? Yes, you did. And so that's why I think it's really important that bullying is defined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not playful joking when someone's feelings are being hurt.
Yes.
That's right.
Or yes, you should never describe it as, oh, it's just a phase. You know, they'll outgrow it, or kids will be kids. No. No. Children are getting hurt, and most times, I mean, in some instances, a bully eventually stops. But most times, we know that a bully will grow up to be mm-hmm. a bully.
Yes, yes, they will, mm-hmm. and their children too.
Yeah.
And that's
and they grow up and they have problems after that, maintaining social relationships. They become a spousal or a child abuser. Lots of things if you don't address it. You can't address it the way we used to in the good old days. Yeah, I think mm-hmm. you're right, Latrice. In the good old days, our moms, our dad. You know, Mama gonna meet you at the bus stop if she had to take off work to do it. You really gonna get it, but your brothers, your sisters, rocks, stones, whatever. That's one of the good ways that we handle things. But now mm-hmm. the bullying is so different. It comes out so differently. It comes out by mm-hmm. spreading rumors about someone.
Uh-huh.
It goes out by going on a Facebook or other social medias, Instagram, because you can reach a large amount of people with what just the press of a finger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so nasty and destructive. Yes.
Cyberbullying. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Absolutely. Yes, it is. Now, Benita, how can parents get more involved with creating programs and organizations to help their children with bullying? Because I know you are very involved in Bully mm-hmm. Buster 702 program. Mm-hmm. How can parents be like you and get involved and create organizations to help their children with bullying?
Right. And I think what they can do, if they want more information, they can always reach out to Bully Buster 702. They can order the coloring books, and they can hold even little sessions while you're having sleepovers mm-hmm. for your kids. Have a discussion with the girls or the boys about mm-hmm. what bullying is. You know, give them the coloring books. Ask them what do they think, what are their thoughts. you know, and let them know that they have a voice in what they can do, and so how they can take control of their lives. Because when you're being bullied, you feel so helpless.
Yeah.
So parents have to empower their kids, you know. And so we do have a hotline. The number is 702-292-5023. Or you can download the Bully Buster 702 app or go to the website. You have to be informed as a parent on what bullying is and, like the doctor said, what the signs are. It has to start there.
Absolutely, I agree. I totally agree with that. I had another question, and it slipped my mind. Lord, help us this morning. what advice, Bonita, can you give parents and kids on bullying?
The advice I would give kids is, and this may be wrong to say, but it really is only a temporary situation. You know, we grow up, right? And so, to me, suicide is applying a permanent solution that cannot be undone to a temporary problem. You know, talk to your parents. Talk to the schools. Talk to an adult that you trust and let them know that you're having these thoughts of suicide, or that, or even before it gets to that point, that you're being bullied and you're unsure how to deal with that situation. And so, to me, that's a buildup once somebody gets to that point. And oftentimes the adults in that child's life have failed them. Because I did pop-ups at my kids' school. You know, not just to check on my kids, but to check on the teachers and the environment. Because sometimes teachers are so overwhelmed, they miss the cues as well. And it's so easy to just place our kids into a category like they did for me. Oh, she's just bad. She's not interested. Why invest my time in her? Right? And so we have to even observe our teachers and listen and believe our kids when they even say, I told my teacher, they're not listening. This is what happened, but my teacher always is punishing me. Because
Absolutely.
And so parents have to show up and show out in their kids' lives to set that example for them, you know, and really make sure that they feel loved and that their opinion matters. And like the doctor said, let it be a casual conversation. It doesn't have to be anything dramatic. How was school today? And know their friends. Know their friends, because my kids will tell you, I call it 10 out of 10. That is not your friend.
That's right. Yeah. We have to be honest with our kids, because that was one thing that I did with my daughter. I knew every friend. You know, you couldn't go over nobody's house. You couldn't go hang out with them. I had to meet the kid and meet their parents, because you can learn a whole lot. Because a child who is a bully, you 9 times out of 10, their parents are bullies, or their parents being a bully to them, and then they are turning around that aggression on other people because they're being bullied.
Right, so and that's all they know. And let me add this too, while we're on that subject, less than half, 40% of the bullying incidents, kids won't tell. Did not tell. And so they don't tell for many reasons, and that's why it's a partnership. It's got to be the teachers looking out. It's got to be the parents looking out. In this instance, I encourage that the child, the onus can't be on the child. There's a variety of reasons why they don't tell. They may be in fear of the backlash from the person that's doing the bullying. Also, they may feel humiliated by the information that's going around school or going around the community. They may not want their mom to know what's been said about them.
Mm-hmm.
They may be embarrassed. They don't want their daddy to know what's been said about them, whether it's true or false. They just don't want it to be out there. They fear others may judge them or punish them. There are, as we know, back in the day, there have been dads that have said to the sons, what are you crying about? You're so weak. You know, you can handle this situation. No one wants to be punished or seen as weak for not standing up for a bully.
Mm-hmm.
It promotes social isolation, and so they may feel that no one cares. That's how a young person gets to the point where they feel their only straw is suicide, being alone and feeling like no one cares, feeling rejected by their peers. So I encourage today, and I hope people can hear loud and clear, that it's not just one person's problem. It's all of our problems. These are all of our children's. And anyone can have the conversation because, as we know, there are a lot of single moms out here today. And so they're working and trying to do the best they can. We all are in this together. I promote that. I promote that today.
Absolutely.
I promote that today.
Okay.
And the quicker we can get in there and support these children, the quicker and easier there will be a decrease and hopefully an eradication to the bullying, both at the schools and in the communities. I promote that today.
Thank you so much for saying that. And then, you know, I want to put this question to both of you. I know we've been talking about kids being bullied, but what about when it's your child who is the bully? How do you deal with that when it's your child who is the bully?
Well,
but
me,
both y'all.
I do have some information about what to do when you find out that your child is the one that's doing the bullying. Of course, no one wants to hear that information or find that information out about their son or daughter. No, my daughter would never do that. But, you know, how could you say that? And I am going to put this information on my Facebook page, Better Days with Barbie, so that's something that you could be looking out for. But in my experience, you know, you have to have compassion, especially if the parent doesn't even know that their child is acting this way outside of the home. And because mom or dad may say, that can't be. She's the president of the student council. She gets all straight A's. Why would she do this? They have no idea that their child is living a double life. And also, like I said before, there are some psychological effects to a young person that's doing the bullying. And so I promote compassion for that as well.
Okay.
Yeah. If I found out that my child was a bully, first of all, so oftentimes, because, see, parents tend to not be involved in their kids' life. They have these cell phones. I'm nosy.
The baby.
I'm nosy. Yep. I listen in to phone conversations. I listen in when their friends are sitting around. And you can hear the subtle things, you know, the little jokes and jabs that your kids take. And the important thing is to address it at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Pull them aside. That wasn't very nice what you said.
Right.
You know, and let them know that you're not in agreement with that behavior and what the expectations are. You know, also have them do some volunteering in the community. You know, so mm-hmm. that they, so that they have their buy-in and stake in the community and what's going on. Because to me, that's what's missing from our kids. They no longer have a sense of community.
Yeah.
And so the behavior, it doesn't get addressed. I see kids that bully their parents.
Yes. That is alarming to me. I'm like, the role is reversed. Why?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they will respect everybody else but their parent. So bullying is it's not only child to child. It
yeah.
can or adult to child. It can go both ways.
Yes,
and so as
and
parents, we're our child's first teachers.
Mhm. Mhm. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And that is so alarming when you see a child bullying their parent.
Yeah.
Yes. I have a friend, and I'm like, do I got to take your black card? Why are you sitting in the car crying because your 13-year-old is tearing up the house?
Well,
oh,
but see,
God.
That sounds like something didn't start when they were younger.
Yes.
It sounds like they were allowed to get away with this negative behavior, and so now that's their strategy. When they can't get their way, they bully. When they don't
yes.
want to hear something, they bully. When mom tries to put her foot down, then they bully. They bully her. They raise their hand to her. Now, back in the day, you know, even you don't even think. I mean, not do, but think of raising your hand to a parent.
I'm
but
still
now,
scared. For the record, I'm still scared,
right.
Doctor. That wasn't a good strategy for me.
Yes, because even the sheer thought of what would happen if you tried to raise your hand to mom. You should be scared because, like she said, I put the fear of God in you.
Yes.
Unless we had it sound like we might have the same mom.
Exactly.
But, right. So, yeah, but I think you're absolutely right. It has changed. It has definitely changed. And a lot of times the parents are unbelieving or, hey, Johnny will be Johnny, or I think you're exaggerating or making a big deal of this. This could not be my son or daughter. And also the most severe one is when mom is bullied and abused every day from her husband, from dad.
Yes.
And the mm-hmm. children grow up seeing that. And they normalize it. That's how you
mm-hmm.
treat mom. That's how you treat girls. That's how you treat women.
Mhm. Mhm.
And that
wow.
that in a nutshell. And for a situation that we're talking about, this situation, I encourage immediate intervention with the therapist, support system, the police department. Sometimes, and I agree with Ms. Bonita, sometimes you do have to do everything. You have to be, you're expected to be a superhero for your children, to advocate for them, to do everything you can do if it's the school. But if it's something happening in the household, I implore you, you got to find your strength. And it's like you're fighting for your life and a life of the child that they don't even realize you're fighting for their life.
Mm-hmm.
And even if that means at a small scale, taking Johnny up to the police station and putting
mm-hmm.
a fear of God in him, if he's not afraid of mom, more than likely he's probably going to be afraid of the police. Right? So
right.
that
mm-hmm.
I know that sounds kind of extreme, but if there's no man in the house and there's no uncles around and there's no brothers around, there's no grandfather around, which is sometimes the case, it's just all women around, then he does not respect mom, or she doesn't respect mom because she saw mom in this passive situation with dad.
Mm-hmm.
Then mom has to then go in and reclaim the household. And she has to reclaim her authority within the household. And she needs help to do that at times. If it's the schools, like you said, pop-ups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know when I was coming up, we never knew our mom's shift. She would pop up home. Not
yeah.
the school. She would pop up home. You know, because you think she's working one shift, and she's actually switched to another shift, and she's popping up on you to see what you're doing when you, you know, she calls and you say what you're doing, but she'll pop up. And are you doing that? Are you where you're supposed to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm sorry to say that you do have to engage in some of these strategies, but it is to help in the long run. Look of all of us. Our parents did these strategies, and look of all of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful contributors to society.
Yes, that
absolutely.
Is definitely should be the goal of every parent.
Yes.
You know, it's for our kids to grow up productive and to contribute to society. But we have to teach that. We have
yes,
to
right.
live that. We have to live it. Mm-hmm. And so my kids, they always see me being a humble servant out in the community. You know, whether it's a part of my job or helping a neighbor or helping one of their friends. You know, we have to model that behavior for our children.
Yes.
Teach them how to share and how to respect people, you know, as they're growing up, as the behavior is occurring. It could be as simple as, you know, a 3-year-old that takes a toy from another child. You have to tell that
mm-hmm.
3-year-old, no, that is not okay. Give little Johnny back that toy and
right.
let's go pick you
mm-hmm.
and apologize.
Oh, that's so cute. No, that's not really cute.
It's that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
It's bullying at the age of 2 or 3. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so to me, you know, as parents and as our society is changing, it just seems like the role of parents has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, even I'm mom to everybody.
Me too.
And I am proud that my kids' friends, I'm always mom, and they've never disrespected me. But I tell them all the time, I'm still in the throat-punching business.
Okay. Hit you right
because
in the
that's the one thing you can't do, right? And so I can say that to them because it comes from a place of love. They know I'm a
yes.
consistent mm-hmm. person in their life. They know I am a safe person.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm only going to tell them something if it's for their benefit, if it's for their good. And so often, but see, it even comes across like when I had a youth program, one of my youth came in my office just bragging about how he cussed his mom out. Wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Not acceptable. I need you to go outside and pick out a switch.
That's right.
Because what you can't do is come in here and respect me, and you disrespected her.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Right.
But adults are scared to say anything to other people's children.
Yes.
Right. Right.
Because parents don't react the same. My neighbors used to be snitches, and they used to go whoop me with switches.
Yes. Mine too. It was the neighborhood. We were a community. It's, you know, it's that village. The village helped raise your kids. You
yes.
know,
yes.
you're down the street, Miss Molly, and Miss Molly saw you do something. She got you right then and there, and then she walked you down to your house and told your mama, then you got it again.
Again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so to me, you know, it really does take a village, you know, because I want my kids to feel comfortable talking to someone else if they can't talk to me. They need to know who the safe adults are in their lives.
Yes.
And we have to be present in our kids' lives. Put the cell phones down. Put
yes.
the tablets
yes.
down.
Look them
yes.
in the mm-hmm. eye. Touch
yes.
them. You know, hold their mm-hmm. hands. Hug them. And let them know that, yes, yes, I'm preparing you for the big bad world, but in here you're safe. And that
yes.
goes so
mm-hmm.
that goes such a long way. It's beyond bullying. It's even when someone touches them in an unwanted way.
Exactly.
Are they aware,
mm-hmm.
aware of what this unwanted way is? And you're absolutely right. If they can't talk to you, they should be able to talk to auntie. They should be able
mm-hmm.
to talk to aunt, uncle. They should be able to talk to first lady at the church. They should be
mm-hmm.
able to talk to someone so that they don't have to live with secrets, because these secrets we keep, they make us ill. They're absorbed
yes.
in our organs, and that's a whole nother topic right there. But we have to do everything we can do to protect our children. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
We have to wrap them in love.
Yes.
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 We have to keep them talking. We have to teach our babies that talk to me. Tell me everything. Don't take pain in silence. Don't get tortured in silence. You know, you have a voice. Let's be heard. Let's be seen. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a bullying campaign that's on Facebook, and they have an organization called Stomp Out Bullying. And I love
yes.
that what they're doing.
Yes. Stomp Out Bullying. .org. Yes. Yes.
Yes. They have a campaign going right now called Hear Me, See Me. And they have pictures of different various kids, and they're giving their own little statements. And I think that is very important for our kids to know, hear me, I'm here, and see me, so that you see what's going on with me, you know, so you can
mm-hmm.
see all the signs. Because a lot of times we as parents, we, you know, if you're not paying attention, if you don't put that tablet or that phone down, you're going to miss that black eye. You're going to miss that busted
yeah.
lip. Or
mm-hmm.
that swollen face. You're going to miss all that. And you need to pay attention. So, and our kids are talking. We're just not hearing them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
yes.
that's going to be very important in order for us to have a strong impact on bullying. Because we can
right.
stop bullying. We really, really can. It,
right.
it has to
mm-hmm.
be talked about in the schools. We have to know the bullying laws for each state.
Yes.
We have to, you know, create a safe zone for our kids at school, at home, and in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And what about the parental guidance aspect of the social media? Do parents still have, a say in how much they're on the device, and do they review the content? I mean, I don't know how much parents are doing that, but I think that goes a long way in stopping, because you can block some of these people. Like, who is this person? I need to show this to their parents. And then you can
mm-hmm.
block that person. Because
mm-hmm.
There's a bully. There's a person that's getting bullied. There's the person that's doing the bullying. And then in between there, there's the observer, the bystander.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that person, that observer, that bystander, they're also being affected.
Mm-hmm.
They're also
mm-hmm.
dramatically and psychologically being affected.
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't do anything, or they didn't know what to do, or they didn't stop it, or they laughed at what was said, or they
mm-hmm.
didn't want anyone to start bullying them, so they kind of just went along to get along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No one wins in this situation. No one wins. So
that's
all.
No, they don't. For parents, there are apps and there are settings on social media where you can set the limits, the time that your child is online. And then, you know, a lot of times, you know, I have a rule in my house. No phones at the dinner table. You are not online with the dinner table. You know, family time, there's no phone.
Mm-hmm.
Turn it off. You know, this is where parents have to be more proactive. And when my daughter was in, you know, middle school and high school, the one thing that I did, I was her Facebook friend. I'm still her Facebook friend, all her social media friends. And when I got on her social media, all her friends would add me so I could see what they were doing. And anytime I saw them doing something wrong, baby, trust me, I chastise them on social media. And then I said, I'm going to call your mama. Because you don't take these pictures or you saying having this conversation, and that's not nice. So,
right.
You know, we as parents, you have to be involved on it. Because I know parents who they don't have a clue to what's going on their children's social media. Because guess what? They're not checking their social media, and they're not their friends on the social media. How is your child on social media and you not one of their friends on social media? I never got that. But
mm-hmm.
You have to be a proactive parent and be involved and be on your child's social media. There's no such thing as this is my page. This is my phone. You're not paying that bill. You is my child.
Right.
And as long as you under my roof, do these words sound familiar to either one of y'all? As long as you under my roof, you're going to abide by my rules and do what I say. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So what's yours is mine. If you ain't got nothing, that's mine. That's all me.
Right. Like you said, very scary, the memory of it. but nonetheless, accurate and effective. You know, parents, I believe, and I'm not saying this is for everyone, but some of the parents just really need to get more active with their children, be more present, and get involved. A lot of time these devices are used as a babysitter. And then the child grows up with these devices, and it just kind of continues on. And parents kind of complain about it because now the child isn't present. And it's sort of like, oh, all they do is stay on their phone. But that's how they started out. And so parents have to take back rules of how they want things to be in the house. Parents have to be the true authoritarian in the house.
Mm-hmm.
The true, because they're number one influencer are parents. We see them every day. And the second best are the teachers. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got like 3 minutes left. Is there anything that either one of you want to give out to our audience on this touching topic? Is there anything that you want to leave our listeners with before we close the show out, Benita?
I do. You know, I just and I hope parents are listening, but I also hope that they also brought their kids into the room to hear this conversation.
Yes.
You know, and our kids, I want them to know that they have value in this world. They have a purpose. Don't give up. And I know it's hard, and I know the struggle is difficult and it's painful. But I promise you, it does get better. And if you need assistance, reach out to someone. And if they're not listening, you keep speaking until someone does listen. You have that right.
Mm-hmm.
We love our children. We love you. I don't even know you, and I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sending my love out to our community today. That's why this topic was so important to me. This comes from a place of compassion and love, and I hope that your listeners got that message loud and clear today from us.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I would just like to add on to that. I just want everyone, parents, children alike, even if you don't have children but you know children, thank you for joining us this morning for this topic. I pray that it was informative. It was so necessary, and I'm so grateful to have been a part of it. But I hope that each and every one of you has gotten something, even if just a speck of information, whereby you can share and then move forward in a positive manner from that. We're all in this together. It's going to take all of us to help and to love and to keep safe and to provide and empower and encourage. We have to start lifting each other up. We have to start allowing one another to help one another. And it can't be, it's none of your business. Mind your business. This is my child. It can't be like that anymore, because we have to start being a community that's not divided. Let's take one step at a time, and I know that we can do it. Take one step at a time. Let's move one step at a time in love and in positivity. Let's put that out there today, and we'll manifest that in this universe. It is happening now. It is happening now, right now, right now on this call, and for everyone that's out there listening. Thank you, Latrice. Thank you for this platform, and thank you for Sister's Place.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Thank you. You're very welcome. Thank you, Benita. Thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you, Barbie, for being on the show as well. My message to the listeners today is I want us to be impactful. I want us to eliminate this bullying. I want us to start the conversations. I want you to take away from this. Sit your child down today and have a conversation with your babies. Truly get to know what's going on with your child. And don't let it just be today. Let it be every day. Because we have to stop this violence, this silent cure, because suicide, committing suicide at the age of 9, I think the youngest, she wasn't the youngest one, but the most recent one, she was 9 years old. The other one was 11 years old. We're seeing them as young as 7, and that is heartbreaking to me, because I'm a parent, and that's not something I wish on any parent. That's something I don't wish on any child, having been bullied as a child. And it always happens after school, in the neighborhood. You got your neighborhood bullies, you got your school bullies, you got your playground bullies, you even got the bullies online. So it is time for us as parents to come together and start talking to our kids and get involved. And if you see another child being bullied that's not yours, say something. Because you will be amazed at the effect that you will have on that child that's not even yours, that you see another child bullying that child. And don't just, go attack that person as a, why are you doing this? You talk to the baby that's being bullied, and then turn around and look at that child that's doing the bullying, tell them they're wrong, and, ask them what's wrong with them. Because a child that's bullying another child is acting out for various reasons. So I want us all to take away from today, to get involved. Let's get talking. Let's stomp out bullying. That is a big campaign that is going around. If you need to talk to anyone, Benita Faye gave the phone number to BullyBuster702. Go on to their website. You can reach out to Benita. You can reach out to Dr. Evans as well. Better Days with Barbie. Ask questions. We appreciate you all. This replay will be available. And this is not the end of this conversation. Sister Slate will be doing more, because I really, truly, this is very close to me, because I'm a parent and having been bullied, it breaks my heart that our babies don't feel safe enough to the point where they got to take their own life. So with that being said, my prayer today is that we take this message today to heart and sit our babies down and start talking to them. And let's become that village again.
Yeah.
Raising our kids in the community. Yeah, that's what I want you guys to take away from this. And again, Dr. Evans, thank you for being on the show. And Benita, thank you as always for being on the show. I'm pretty sure we will all will be talking again.
Yes.
Thank you. I look forward to it. You guys have a wonderful weekend.
Keep up the great work,
Latrice.
This is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, love.
Nice meeting you, Doctor.
Blessings.
Thank you. You as well.
Take care, ladies.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye, everyone. Signing off. This is Place. Blog Talk Radio, Small Talk with Latrice. Have a great weekend, everyone.